And, you know, the first big movie that we were used in was Alice in Wonderland, which was amazing. You know, I was there and I can remember when this happened. You know, this is like the first blockbuster movie that we were used for.
Hey, what's going on? Hope you are well. So on this week's episode of the Welcome to the Metaverse podcast, we're getting stuck into the fascinating world of motion capture in major movies, entertainment, and some other really interesting use cases too, which are happening today, but also for the future of the metaverse. Our guest is Remco Sikkema, who is the Senior Marketing Communication Manager at Movella, who are a world leader in this industry, who also make XSense motion capture suits, which we talk about too. Remco does an awesome job of explaining this industry, how motion capture is used today and the opportunities available and how it will be essential for communication in the metaverse over the next few years. Thank you, Remco, for coming on. I've left his links in the show notes along with my own, so do give him a follow as he puts out some awesome content as well. This podcast is sponsored by the brilliant Every Realm, who are a leader in metaverse innovation, investment, and NFTs. They're among the largest owners of digital real estate NFTs in Decentraland, The Sandbox, and Axie Infinity, to name just a few. And make sure you follow them on Twitter at Every Realm, where you'll find a link to their Discord, or head over to everyrealm.com to check out everything that they're up to, including their pop-up DJ parties in the metaverse. I'll put all those links in the show notes along with my own, so you can easily click through. And finally, as always, nothing in this podcast is financial or investment advice. Always do your own research. And with that said, let's dive into this week's episode. Remco, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So, excited for this conversation. It's going to be a good episode. It's something I am getting really interested in personally at the minute as well, even though it's existed for a long time. But with all things metaverse, it's kind of getting really relevant to everyone, really. So we're getting stuck into the world of motion capture, which kind of fascinating in its own right, and also very likely to be a crucial component of the full-blown metaverse when that is fully developed, whatever that exactly looks like. So to begin with, maybe you could just give us an overview of what motion capture is. Sounds simple, but there's lots of different ways you can do it, and maybe you could run us through a few different ways that it's used in entertainment and maybe other areas that people might not be aware of.
Yeah, of course. So so motion capture is kind of a well-known term. And I think it's if you're a little bit into the entertainment world, you know what it is. So it's a technology to capture the motions of your body movements, and can also be face, so your facial expressions. So it's from top to bottom, so facial expression, your body, your fingers, so everything can be recorded and digitized. So that's actually what it is about. Motion capture is digitizing movements. So you can do that in several ways. You know, most people know it by, you know, somebody wearing a suit, they have these little dots on their body or these little dots on their face, and then they record motions, you know. Andy Serkis is maybe even the most famous one, who did Gollum in Lord of the Rings. So he was sitting there in his suit. So he actually was a bi character or a side character. And he was just there to do the voice of Gollum. But he was so embedded in his motion and so embedded in the performance that they said, well, we should record this guy. You know, he's so into it. He's Gollum. So he should do the motion. So that's how it started. And I think that's almost where, you know, motion capture got his fame. You know, it's the first 15 minutes of fame. So that is one technology, actually, how you can do it. So he's wearing a suit and there's little dots on his suit. And then around the room, there are cameras. And these cameras, they see these dots. And they actually triangulate these dots. And then you can make like a 3D image of, you know, all the dots together. And then you can form a character. So this is, you know, this is called optical motion capture. So it has external cameras. You have a volume, as it's called. So you have to be within a certain set, because the cameras can only see the dots, you know, from their point of view. And if you go outside of their range, yeah, they don't see you anymore. So that is optical motion capture. But there's also a technology that's called inertial motion capture. So if you compare it to optical, so optical is external input cameras. So inertial is coming from your own body. So at that point, and this is actually the company that I work for, we have inertial motion capture suits. So you wear a suit. In these suits are inertial sensors. Inertial sensors are basically movement sensors that record the movement of that sensor itself. So if you combine multiple sensors on your suit, it can also digitize movements. Yeah, it's you have to actually see it to understand what I'm saying. But the difference is you have optical, it's external with cameras, and inertial means you don't need cameras, you just need the suit. You can actually go anywhere. You know, you can even go, I don't know, base jumping, or you can, you know, go into the desert, you know, without any external cameras or anything, and you just can record your motions. So, and there's also, and what is coming up is like AI kind of solutions. So you stand in front of a camera, the camera records your motions, and then it's turned with AI, it's turned into a digital motion. So it makes from a flat image, it actually makes a 3D image. And this is up and coming. So those are the three kind of motion capture technologies that are out there. And they have positive and negative points, pros and cons. We can go into them, but you know, it depends on the situation. It depends on the application, which one you choose.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's really interesting. Good to hear the three different ways and starting to see, on the AI side, some apps that are early and probably not as accurate yet, but doing it from, you know, just so your phone camera beginning to be able to kind of track bones and movement bodies, which is cool. I guess very briefly, what would be the kind of different scenarios that you'd choose for each one? Why maybe would you want optical with cameras in a certain setting versus AI or a suit? Is that there's different reasons, I imagine, but
yeah, so it's generalizing, of course, but optical motion capture is being viewed as the most accurate one. So if you really want to have really accurate data, then optical motion capture is being used. It's also the best way if you have interaction with people, because then, you know, the motion capture with optical cameras also have a really good positioning. If you have inertial motion capture, it's inertial. It's based on estimations. So there can be a little bit of drift, which means if you start at one point, you do stuff, and you go back to that point in the software, it could be a little bit off. So when you have interactions between actors, this could be somewhat difficult. So that is basically it. But if you want to go, like I said, if you want to go outside, if you want to go sporting, if you want to go to a football field, if you want to go base jumping, you know, if you want to go offset, then, you know, this downside can be an upside, because then, you know, you cannot do it otherwise with an optical camera. So that's two scenarios in which, you could choose between the one or the other. And actually, I think they're complementary. You know, if you can go outside and record, I don't know, like a long run, or you can jump off a bridge, or, you know, do something cool somewhere outside. And then on the set, you know, in the studio, you do something, you know, really specific, you know, between actors where you can really, you know, the catch the nuance. So that is the difference where you can do it. And then if you talk about AI, you know, I don't think for professional use, it's not there yet. But if, you know, like VTubers, virtual influencers, or VR chat, you know, kind of situations, I think it's really out there to help these creators.
Yeah, very cool. No, thank you. That's really good to understand all those kind of different ways of doing it and how they might be sort of use each one in a different type of situation is cool. Now, I guess much of the sort of mocap that people will have experienced at the minute will be coming out of kind of major movie studios and some of those things you talked about. We might not even realize it because obviously it's so good in these films, but that's how, you know, a lot of these characters are doing these things on screen. More recently, we're beginning to see kind of amazing, really incredible content from creators who are often sort of working alone. So examples who I know you know and we've had on the show as well, Teflon Sega, virtual avatar singer who's anonymous but doing these amazing music videos and came on and did the interview in live motion capture on the show, which was very cool. Xanadu Blue, another one that people probably would have heard of, and FN Mecha, and these kind of characters that are coming to life. So in your mind, where do you kind of think the journey of motion capture or mocap is heading as the tech is getting kind of more accessible and affordable, at least in that kind of middle range of maybe motion capture suits and where you work as well? And I guess the second part of that question, how do you think that fits into kind of the vision of the metaverse as it begins to get realized for everyone?
Yeah, you know, these guys like Blue, which is Corey Strasburger, and Teflon Zega, which I also know, and you know, these guys are amazing. And that's where actually our suit really comes to power, you know, because you can handle it alone. You know, you cannot do, you know, you cannot do on a studio, you know, with all these cameras and all these dots and all these technicians. You know, it's really hard to do that on your own. So this is powering these kind of creators. You know, they do it on their own. They do it in their own home. And I think that even COVID maybe even sparked this, you know, a little bit, because normally, you know, these people had to go to a studio, or they think about going to a studio, and now they had to, you know, do it from home, you know, and how can I be different? So it's really, of course, it's not that easy, you know. I couldn't even do it. I'm in this business now for over 10 years, but for me it would be even hard to get this done. But if you are already, you know, an animator, or you have affinity with these animations, I think you can get this done and pretty good and pretty accurate. And then, yeah, it shows, like these guys like Corey, like Blue, but also Code Miko, you know, and there are more out there that are using our technology, or, you know, different kind of technology to get their virtual avatar speaking or making, you know, amazing content, you know, about either metaverse or, you know, related stuff. You know, it's really getting, you know, these small independent indie kind of creators to get high quality AAA kind of Hollywood style quality out there. You know, if you look at Blue Xanadu, it's mind-blowing how much and how accurate and how beautiful he can get this. And he's also a really good storyteller. You know, these are not simple stories. These are layered, deep stories. And how he was able to get Teflon Sega in it, you know, it's just incredible. You know, this episode, you know, when they came together, it was awesome. You know, it's amazing to see that. And Teflon Sega was also on Wave. You know, he did a concert there. You know, he's a typical guy. He doesn't want to be known. You know, he wants to be Teflon Sega. You know, that is his personality, and this is how he wants to be known. Nobody will ever hear or know his real name, probably. You know, and this story already is intriguing, right? You know, somebody that just wants to be virtual. And he even says, "No, I'm not even human. You know, I'm an alien. I'm outside of this world, and I'm looking at you humans, and I want to conversate with you in my way. You know, I want to feel your pain. I want to in his song sing about, you know, human pains from a sort of outside view. So I think it's really intriguing, and I see this coming more and more. You know." Because this technology is so accessible, you know, both from a budget point of view, but also from a technology point of view, because it's getting more and more easy. So yeah, I see this coming more and more, and yeah, it's so exciting. And then, you know, if the metaverse, you know, what we are all talking about, you know, it purely aligns, you know, on this subject. You know, the metaverse is all about, you know, avatars, you know, conversation with each other, you know, avatars communicating with each other, avatars connecting with each other. And that's where, you know, motion capture technology can really make a difference. Because, yeah, we can go into this already, but I think, you know, if you talk about the metaverse, and if you really want to, you know, step into a world where you can communicate and where you can connect, you need a genuine motion, you know, to communicate. Because, well, you and me, we are now talking to each other. We look each other's eyes, and, you know, you nod, you know what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying. And these are really subtle movements. And if you talk about communication, you know, 55% of our communication is coming from our body. And I talk a lot with my hands, you know, when I communicate. And normally, you know, in you know, metaverse worlds that are now existing, if you can call them metaverses, but, you know, think of sandbox, decentralized, but maybe even, you know, Roblox or whatever, you know, these avatars, they are not really genuinely talking to each other yet. You know, they you can chat, maybe you can do a little dance, you know, maybe you can run, you can walk, but that's about it. But if you really want to have a good, deep conversation with each other, we're not there yet. So this is where I think, you know, the metaverse can still grow, you know, where motion can still grow to get there and make sure we can really connect.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a human thing to be able to communicate with motions that people understand, isn't it? And yeah, and I guess, how do you see that kind of playing out? Because we're seeing, like we've talked about with Teflon Sega and Blue, and for anyone who doesn't know, I'll leave all the links in the show notes, but it's just watching a bit of their YouTube stuff really brings it all to life. What they're creating is mind-blowing. So we're seeing these people who are, you know, pretty advanced with this tech, and it's becoming more accessible and it's becoming easier, but like you say, there's still this kind of learning curve. You need to know, you know, what you're doing to a degree. So in kind of 5 or 10 years, do you think as the metaverse really begins to take shape, motion capture suits are something that we will kind of all have? It will just be a natural part of how we dive into these virtual worlds? Or yeah, how do you kind of see those, that kind of playing out with motion capture in mind?
Yeah, that's a really good, because I don't see myself wearing a motion capture suit all day. You know, I actually tried it once. It's actually a funny story. So our motion capture suit can run like a full day, so you can wear it and it can be recorded. It's just like a GoPro, so you can record and you can just do whatever you want, and then, you know, after 8 hours or 9 hours you can stop the recording, and then it's there. So I did that because we wanted to show, you know, that it works. So I recorded myself in the office and I worked all day, you know, typing, walking around, you know, going for a walk, you know, driving to my house, driving back. So all this stuff was being recorded. So, and I stopped recording, you know, and I laid down the suit and I got it back to the developers, you know, to get the data out and to get it to the camera crew so they could make a video out of it. And then at some point I was asking, so, you know, what's the status of this? Yeah, let me check. Oh, I think we deleted data.
No.
So my whole day of data recording in the suit was gone, you know. And well, and you know, to come back to your point, so I was wearing this suit like 8-9 hours, and it's kind of a comfortable suit. It's like a, you know, speed skating suit, so that's how you could see it. So it's okay-ish, but you know, wearing it full day is, you know, it you know, there's like a backpack on the back and there's like a battery pack on the back. It gets warm, you know, and when you sit, it's pushing in your back. So it's not, you know, fully comfortable for a full day. So if you would go in the metaverse like this, you know, if you think of Ready Player One or, you know, these kind of situations, this is not the case. This is not happening. So either these suits should be more comfortable or more embedded, or maybe there comes technology that it's, you know, skin tight, or maybe skin upper skin kind of situations. Also, there's also another possibility, and it's a combination actually of everything that we already discussed, you know, AI, motion capture, because there's also, and it's a bit of a concept that I'm working out also together with our company. It's called the Motion Print. And what it basically entails is you capture, you know, a few hours of you yourself. You capture, and also some basic movements like sitting, running, talking, conversating, maybe going to the toilet. I don't know, you know, an hour, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours of motion. And then you actually have an AI agent, you know, making, you know, it more general and making like a database of your personal unique motions.
Interesting.
And that you can actually apply to your avatar, you know, and then based on what you are doing, like now I'm conversating and, you know, they know, my AI knows, you know, what I do during conversation. It gives me my movements. And if I walk, you know, it shows your personal unique walk. You know, when I run, it shows my unique way of running, because that's also very unique. That's why it's called the motion print, actually. Motion print, it comes from fingerprint. Fingerprint is unique to you. And actually, motion is quite unique as well. If you if you would be in the office, I don't know if you are ever in the office, but if I'm in the office and our general manager comes down the road or comes down the hall, I hear it. I know it's him, you know. Or when some other colleague comes by and I hear, you know, by the threat or by the intensity of the walk, you know, I know it's this person. And that is quite unique for everyone. So your walk, your typical walk, your posture, you know, your way of moving is very unique. We did a test here also internally when there was a guy who actually worked on our motion capture technology, and he left the company, and we recorded like a bunch of people. And then we showed the data to this guy, you know, that you see an avatar moving, and he could pick, you know, like 9 out of 10 people from just the motions, you know, not even a facial, just motions, you know, how they walk, how they behave. And it's, oh yeah, this is Remco, you know, this is Luke, you know, you could just pick them out. So unique is your motion. So if you would capture that, you should, if you record that and you apply this to your avatar, this little piece of yourself will always be there, you know, like a base of your personality. And you can, you know, dress and fashion and, you know, anything else on top of it, but this part will always be you. And I think that is really interesting. And I think this is, you know, this is how motion can be added to the metaverse without being intrusive, without having to have extra technology or having a suit or having a camera with AI, you know, just a database of your motions. And you can elaborate it more and more and more and more, of course, over time. And the AI gets better over time. But that's how I feel it would be. It could be applied in a more easy way.
Yeah, that's fascinating to hear, because it's really nice as well to talk through like a practical application of how things might work, because there's a lot in this space of, you know, guessing and hypothesizing and thinking about what could happen. But that sounds like a really practical solution to having motion capture, which is essential, but also, like you say, not wearing a suit for 8-9 hours a day or whatever you're doing. So that's very cool to hear. And I guess we're starting to see like some of the early versions like that, like Amazon with Alexa and your voice, where you can give it a certain amount of data and then it can almost generate any conversation based on your input data. And I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but maybe that's the kind of route that where AI kind of goes down there with motion as well. Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, and that's also what I think. It's, I don't think the technology, you know, the technology is already there. We just need to tie it together, you know? And that's basically where we need to go. Because I think all, you know, all is available, but it's separately available. You know, the AI is available, motion capture is available, but, you know, somebody has to tie it together. And then, you know, how to apply it to an avatar and, you know, when to give what motions to what situation. You know, there's a lot to explore, but it's out there. It just needs to be combined in some way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's really cool to hear. That's very interesting. And I also wanted to talk about some performances and experiences that are available that people can check out now in case they haven't seen them. And we mentioned Wave, who we've also had on the show, who are great. So they do these interactive live concerts. Justin Bieber did one as an avatar, and it's very interactive. As an audience member, you can kind of charge them up and use kind of the best sort of bits of being an avatar and almost a game character in a live show. And that's very cool. And then I was also talking to a company about like hyper reality TV, so where they were doing a kind of Total Wipeout or Ninja Warrior type show where it was physical in the room and they were in motion capture suits, but then they could, with Unreal Engine, layer on almost video game levels. So instead of jumping over a box, you were jumping over lava and then create different levels.
Squid Games.
Right, yeah, basically in a kind of real life slash game scenario, which is cool. So I wondered if there's any other cool use cases that you've seen that you know about or looking into the future, and maybe outside of entertainment as well. I can think about sport. There must be really cool ways that motion capture can be used to train people and learn in sport maybe. So yeah, I was going to ask you about use cases really.
Yeah, so let me start with some cool applications that I know from motion capture, because it's always, you know, it's you know, like what we discussed for entertainment, for games, you know, it's cool to be used, but there's more, you know. It's not just entertainment that it's used for, because it's also used for sport, it's also used for ergonomics, it's also used for health care. You know, there's a lot of applications out there that use motion capture. And I came across this company that's called, they're called CrowdDNA, and I think it's so cool. So what they have like a bunch of suits. They have like, I don't know, like 25 suits. And what they do is they research how crowds behave, you know, because crowds can be, well, can be dangerous, you know, if you're in a crowd, you know, I don't know if you know, but there was like in, I think it's about 10 years, maybe 20 years ago, there was this festival in Germany and a bunch of people died because the crowd was just too heavy, you know. People were being pushed out and eventually they died also. So coming from this, you know, they're researching how crowds work and how you can control them, which I think it's mind-blowing, you know, that they are doing this. You know, this data, otherwise you cannot catch, you know, you cannot record. So they're putting in a bunch of people in those suits, and they try to replicate, you know, busy crowds and how it progresses, and also how they can, you know, how they can steer them, you know, in a better way. So this is, I think, is really interesting. You know, another interesting thing is, so Le Mans 24 hour from Le Mans. That's like 24 hours of racing. It's in France. And, you know, what they do, there's a pit crew, you know, and they recorded the pit crew members. So not the driver, you know, it's not about the driver. It's not about, you know, how fast he goes, or, you know, how he steers in, or how to cut corners, but it's about the pit crew, how they could, on one hand, make them more efficient and faster, and on the other hand, make them ergonomically safe. Because, you know, it's, you know, they are under stressful situations. They need to act within seconds. They need to think within seconds. So how can you optimize this? So I think those are the kind of, you know, interesting applications that you don't think of first. You know, it's also being used in space. You know, how astronauts behave, or how they sport. You know, in a situation when there's no gravity. You know, stuff like this. It's sometimes you cannot even think about what they will be using it for.
I love that. That's so interesting, isn't it? Because it's not stuff that springs to mind immediately. And I can imagine that with that data, potentially people can run simulations and change minor things that then, like you say, would improve seconds for athletes, or you can experiment with all that stuff, which is really cool. I hope this isn't a silly question, but it also got me thinking about, you know, is motion capture generally just used at the minute for humans, or are there other scenarios where maybe, you know, you could recreate a realistic kind of animal movement and maybe create some sort of world or sort of virtual safari where things are super realistic like that, or kind of machine simulations, I guess we talked about a little bit, but is it only human based at the minute, or is that a silly question? I don't know.
No, it's not a silly question at all. So it's, there's two ways you can answer this. So there's people that are in motion capture that also have are creature performers. So they behave like creatures, you know, like apes or dinosaurs, or, you know, what are the other creatures there are, or aliens, and they use prosthetics, you know, to make those motions different. There's this guy Ruel, who's doing, you know, who's innovating in this space. You know, he has like tails from a dinosaur. You know, he has like dinosaur heads that he creates, you know, to make a performance of a creature. He's also into apes, you know, into gorillas, and then he has prosthetics on his arms to walk the way a gorilla walks. So that's like a creature, and you can add you can alter the data a little bit to make it look more realistic. But when it comes to, I don't know, a dog or a horse, you know, then it's different, because they have a different biomechanical model than a human. You know, our technology is based on two things. It's a biomechanical model, and it's the motions that are applied to this biomechanical model. And a biomechanical model, I can explain the simplest way. Look at your elbow. You know, your elbow can only go one way. It can go in and out. It cannot go sideways. It cannot even go backwards. You know, it has rules, your elbow. And the same is with your knee. You know, it can only go, you know, in and out, and there's no other movement. So those are already rules. And if you apply that to all the joints in your body, you have a biomechanical model. It's like a rules for your joints. And then, for instance, the shoulder is really difficult because it can do anything. You know, it can turn, it can go up and down, in, out. You know, it's a really difficult one. So those are the biomechanical models. And we have a biomechanical model of a human, but you could also add a biomechanical model of a horse or a dog, or I don't know, a leprechaun. No, oh no, maybe not. But you know, you can do anything with it. But we are based on humans. But there's companies out there that do this, and that apply a different kind of model, and then you have, you know, another animal. So it can be done. So there's, you can actually have a real animal, or you can, you know, alter the data so it makes it into a creature. Because an alien, yeah, it has no biomechanical model yet. So, yeah, we need to figure it out ourselves. So that's how that goes.
Yeah, hopefully we'll figure it out before they arrive, and then we'll get a head start on them. But
Teflon Sega may know.
Well, yeah. He's the one to ask for sure. Meta Drewborn. Amazing. Yeah, well, thanks so much. There's so much good stuff in there. And it's I find really, really fascinating because it's just cool to learn about. But maybe you could tell us a little bit more about XSense. Is that how you pronounce it? Your company, XSense. And just the suits there. And if people want to learn a bit more, where can they go to kind of find out more? Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the company as well.
Yeah, so XSense, at this point we even called Movella. So we had a name change, as you can say. So since last year we are called Movella, and now the XSense brand is still there, but as a product brand. So yeah, we actually make the basics is motion capture or is inertial sensors. These inertial sensors can be applied to different applications. We also have an industrial side, so automobiles, boats, machines, anything, you know, a single sensor can be placed on this to make it more efficient, faster, better, more accurate. So that is one. Then we have the sports and the health, you know, which we briefly discussed. So there's, athletes are using it to either perform better or to prevent injury. And then you have the healthcare, which is mostly about ergonomics. So workplace, making it safer, healthier, and things like this. So that is also something that we do. And then we have the entertainment. And the entertainment is, we've been in this space since, I think it's 2006. And, you know, the first big movie that we were used in was Alice in Wonderland, which was amazing. You know, I was there and I can remember when this happened. You know, this is like the first blockbuster movie that we were used for. You know, these twins that are in there, they were... they used our motion capture technology, and then you have this. Was it the Ace of Knives?
I can't remember, but I know who you mean. Ace of Spades, maybe, or something.
Yeah, this guy, you know, on the long legs. You know, he was also in our suits, and that is actually one of the first. He already wore like these. Extra long sticks under his feet to make, you know, make him look taller, and we captured that as well. So that was the first time that we used it, and then, you know, it evolved, and basically now every Marvel, well, you see behind me, I'm a big Marvel fan, and basically all Marvel movies, you can probably say it has XSense data in it. And they're, of course, they're on the NDA, though, so they don't always tell us, but we know most of them are. For sure, it's Black Panther is being used, has this data. But also like FIFA, you know, the football games, you know, almost every FIFA has XSense data in it.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of stuff out there that's being done with XSense. And if you talk about the metaverse, you know, there's NFT projects that are being done using our technology, one of the maybe more famous project that was done, so 21 Pilots, they did like an experience in Roblox.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah,
and that was actually done using XSense. It was pre-recorded, but it was like, and I think this is something that's you know, when we talk about motion of the metaverse, it's about, you know, it's about avatars talking together, it's about, you know, decentralized kind of worlds, virtual worlds, but these kind of things are also metaverse, like an experience, you know, having a close up experience with a band that you love, you know, because you could go, you know, they were performing and you could go, you know, in them and out around them, you could surround them, you could, there were like these cool experience that they made, you know, using our technology, and it was such an embedded immersive kind of experience. You know, it was not that you're looking at a concert, no, you were floating in the concert, you know, you were, you know, floating through the drum and around, you know, the singer. It was so cool, coolly done. And I think this is also, you know, where metaverse experiences come into place. You know, this is you have to find a different way to, you know, experience life or performances. You know, the web 2, web 1 is about, maybe if you talk about music, it's about video clips, you know, about Spotify, you know, about this, but this is deeper, immersive, you know, getting in contact close with the band. And I think that is super cool to be done. You know, I think that is the way that our technology is used. And I also think about esports, you know, and I think about live performances by DJs, you know, that are done on stage, and then, you know, the DJ has a suit on or a motion capture suit on, and, you know, is being there as an avatar, and you are there as an avatar, you're living in this virtual world, and, you know, that's a different kind of environment and a different kind of experience, you know, like, you can give them, I don't know, you can give them kudos, you know, you can even maybe converse with them, you can, you know, maybe change the way they appear, you know, you could go on stage, backstage, you know, you could do anything actually in such an environment. And still, you know, it's a live environment, still, you know, this performer is there doing his thing, but he's on a different, you know, different situation, you know, a different spot, you know, different stage. It's like, yeah, live motion capture combined with virtual production, you know, it's a combination.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool and really exciting. It's almost like a new genre of entertainment, isn't it? Which, it's still live, but has these different rules, or really no kind of rules for how people experience stuff. And those will be the inflection points, no doubt, when we're beginning to see them, and there have been amazing versions of that, but they're only going to get more and more crazy. And like you say, this version of the internet is really the interactive kind of immersive version, isn't it? Which is going to get crazy very soon. So, it's really cool. But yeah, thank you so much, Remco. That's awesome. There's loads of really cool stuff on that. It's fascinating, and we'd love to kind of have you back on in it maybe in a few months to kind of catch up, and I look forward to seeing lots more cool experiences that are using your tech as well,
for sure. I'll be happy to, you know, I think it's a really interesting subject to talk about, and this metaverse is going places, you know, there's so much going on this space, in this space, and I'm just happy to be in this space, you know. And it's cool, you know, I've listened to a few of your episodes, and, you know, everyone is so positive and they're so creative, you know, this space is so creative. I love it.
Yeah, same. Yeah, it's, absolutely feel the same way. I guess the final thing is just to ask where we can send people to kind of follow you or follow XSense, and where can people go to learn a bit more?
Yeah, so you can find me. I'm mostly active on LinkedIn. I actually share almost daily anything on Web3, crypto, blockchain, NFT, metaverse, of course. So I'm a big fan of it, and I share a lot about it. You can follow me, check out Remco Sikkema, and you will find me. I'll be the top one, probably. There are not many of them. And our company is XSENS, so XSENS. You can follow, you can check the website, and also on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah, appreciate it. So there we go. Thank you very much to Remco. Did an amazing job of explaining this industry. It's going to be an important part of the metaverse as it takes shape. So thanks, Remco, for coming on. Thank you to you for listening to the Welcome to the Metaverse podcast as well. Much appreciated. If you would like to leave a review, that is one way you can help support the show. Thank you very much. Thank you to EveryRealm as well for sponsoring the show. Make sure you give them a follow at EveryRealm on Twitter. All the links in the show notes. And I will see you for next week's episode.